Mark Shapiro, new president of the Toronto Blue Jays. The announcement coming today. He will take over at the conclusion of this season. So conflicted is Mr. Shapiro today, I guess, to fist bump or to not fist bump. He's still in Cleveland. Still technically a member of the Indians organization. Happy to be joined now by Rob Nyer, national baseball writer for Fox Sports. That's a weird one, isn't it, Rob? Like, what do you do if you're Shapiro? I mean, you're in Cleveland, so maybe you don't do it if you're in front of anybody, like fist pump or like high five anybody. Don't do that. That's probably frowned upon.
Right. I think that if you are Mark Shapiro, you keep a very low profile wherever you are, because obviously, I'm sure that a big part of him would love for the Blue Jays to win the World Series this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, believe it or not, the Indians are only 5 games out in the wild card standing.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened. What if they win 7 or 8 in a row? That it's possible. And then they're in the playoffs. So he has to have some conflicted emotions right now.
You got to think. As far as that name and what he's done and the history that he has in Cleveland, do you think it's a good hire for the Blue Jays?
Well, I think there are very few people who are perfect or even outstanding for every situation. There have been a few general managers over the years, or baseball executives, or field managers for that matter, who thrive wherever they went. Not many. So it's hard to say, because, of course, Shapiro has really only been with the Indians. I'm personally, and I've spent a little time with Shapiro, not a lot, but a little bit. I'm immensely impressed with him just personally. I think he's incredibly intelligent. I just think the world of him. His record with the Indians, I would say, is mixed. They have been generally competitive. I think that their process seems to be well considered. But they also haven't built the sort of franchise-wide success with a low budget that, say, the Rays have or the Pirates have. So I don't know. I think that you could do a lot worse than Mark Shapiro. That's about the most I think I would say.
Yeah, it's hard to find anyone to say anything negative about him. He has a great reputation. You mentioned it personally. All his personal relationships appear to be pretty great. Nobody has had a bad thing to say about him. What about this Blue Jays team on the field right now, Rob? Nobody has anything bad to say about them either. They sweep away the Detroit Tigers in another ridiculous, you know, fashioned sweep where they score 15 runs in a game. I mean, it seemed to harken back to that sweep in Anaheim of the Angels, in which they scored 36 runs in a 3-game sweep. They now have the second best record in the American League on paper. The roster that's built, is where does that team rank for you in the American League, and where does it rank in baseball as far as the talent level on this Toronto Blue Jays team?
Oh, I think it's number one. And I think it, purely in terms of maybe your 40-man roster, I'm not sure if it's the best in the majors, but in terms of the 25-man roster and who's healthy and productive at this moment, I think the Blue Jays are the best team in the majors. As you know, they had the best run differential in the American League in early June and early July.
Yeah.
If they just couldn't win a one-run game, and that's what held them back in the standings. But and you know, baseball doesn't have to work this way. They don't have to destroy the Tigers as they did.
It doesn't normally work that way.
All right, that's right. Usually, you know, even if you're much better than the other team, you win 2 out of 3.
Yep.
Or 3 out of 4, maybe. Or you split. You can't. There are any guarantees, no matter what your talent base is. But right now, the Blue Jays, it's just every time they play one of these teams that has given up on the season, it looks like a team that's trying to win, playing teams that aren't really trying to win. And so it's right now, lately, the optics have been exactly what you would expect.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's not only does it not normally go this way, I feel like, and I don't know, I can't back this up with numbers, and maybe it's just recency bias, but because there's been some good Blue Jays teams over the last 22 years that have not made the playoffs, I feel like the best team does not normally go on runs like this. And even teams that add like they do, like the Blue Jays did at the non-waiver trade deadline, they don't like win 24 out of 29 or whatever the Blue Jays have done. It just doesn't happen. But apparently this is It's all been building for 22 years, and it's all on display right now for the Toronto Blue Jays. Talking to Rob Neyer, national baseball writer for Fox Sports. So another no-hitter yesterday, Rob. Jake Arrieta throws it for the Chicago Cubs, who had been one of the hottest teams in baseball. They were on, I think, a four-game losing streak headed into yesterday, a game in which they won 2-0 over the Dodgers. But I'll get into Arrieta in just a second. What about the whole, the proliferation of no-hitters across Major League Baseball? We've seen plenty of perfect games as well. Do you have a problem with it? Like, is it concerning? Does some of the luster come off the no-hitters when we see them so often now?
I don't have any issue with in isolation of no-hitters. If we see three or four or five every season, or even one a month, that's pretty exciting. I think for me, the issue with this era that's been going on now for 4 or 5 or 6 years, it's not the great performances. It's not when a pitcher strikes out 18 in a game or when a pitcher throws a no-hitter. It's the routine nature of the strikeout generally. Excuse me. And the continuing decline of fielding as something that matters.
Yeah.
I think at its best, baseball is a game that gets everyone involved. Where you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if there's going to be a strikeout or a great play by the shortstop. Well, the no-hitters are an outgrowth of something much larger, which does concern me, and that's the continuing evolution of the game into a contest between the pitcher and the hitter, with the fielders just becoming bystanders.
It's true. There are still teams that, their fortunes can be changed, and, well, any team's fortunes can be changed by the way they field the ball. And the Blue Jays, part of their second-half success, their pitching numbers, is Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop. But I totally understand what you're saying as far as the strikeouts becoming such a more prevalent part of the game. Is there a solution to that? I was reading over your story, and we'll get into this as well. About player safety and fan safety. We know the tragedy taking place in Atlanta over the weekend, and mentioned moving the mound back a foot. That obviously increases offense, maybe significantly. That's a huge change to the game. Should we be looking more at reducing strikeouts?
I think it's inevitable. It's just a question of when. And to this point, nobody in the game has been willing to even discuss it, not publicly anyway. But if you just look at the graph of strikeouts over the last 5 years, you see it going up and up and up. Now, that's always been the case. Strikeouts have been going up basically throughout baseball history, since the beginning of baseball, when strikeouts weren't even supposed to try to strike the guy out. You were supposed to serve the pitch in so the batter could put the bat on it.
Yeah.
So strikeouts have always gone up, but the pace has been accelerating in recent years. The line has been steeper. And eventually there becomes a point where it's just untenable, where the hitting statistics, nobody's scoring any runs. We've seen historically when scoring has gone below a certain level, the fans stopped wanting to watch the game. So it's really just a matter of time. And baseball is always slow to adapt. They're slow to even consider fundamental changes, but they always come eventually. It's just 5 or 10 years later than you might think is most effective.
I don't want to spend the entire time that we have together talking about this, but it interests me because, yes, I'm with you that baseball is generally slower to change, but we've seen some pretty fundamental pretty fundamentally huge changes in the game over the last few years, Rob. Instant replay now that they've instituted, I know decades after the NFL and everybody else has gone to replay, the additional wild cards. I think the way they've got the playoff system right now is perfect, actually, but they've added two playoff teams. I know you love the game. I love the game. Changing, 60 feet, 6 inches, that's a huge change, to change something that's ingrained in the fabric of the game. And part of the reason I love the game is being able to, whether it's fair or not, compare different eras, because I know the outfield walls are different and there's things that are different in the game, but generally it's the same rules as the game was played 100 years ago. You'd be cool with moving the mound back like a foot or something?
Well, I wouldn't just proclaim tomorrow, let's move the mound back a foot.
Yeah.
I would say, here's a range of things that we might try. We might move the strike zone up, the bottom of the strike zone up by an inch. Most of the strikeout increases are due to umpires calling lower strikes than they had been calling. And this is the rule book strike zone. Don't get me wrong. The umpires are doing a better job than ever. But calling the rule book strike zone, as it turns out, means a bigger strike zone and more strikeouts. So you could just start there. Or you could lower the mound by an inch and see what happens. Or you could move the mound back by 6 inches and see what happens. And by the way, you could do all this in a minor league.
Yep.
Let's say the Atlantic League, which has high quality competition, and see what happens. I'm not suggesting radical change tomorrow. I'm suggesting some serious analysis of the issue and some frank conversations with the Players Association.
Yep, and we have seen the size of the mound changed over the years as well. Before we let you go, Rob, so Jake Arrieta, he throws the no-hitter yesterday. You know, could use a guy like that, Baltimore Orioles, who gave him away for Steve Clevenger, and they got Scott Feldman as well, who was a pending free agent. And, yeah, the Orioles gave him a shot, and he never really became the pitcher, obviously, that he has become with the Cubs. But that looks like a serious do-over the Orioles would have liked to have had back.
It's an incredible story, really. I mean, this doesn't happen all the time. You'll often hear about a player who's not doing as well as expected or as well as projected. And people will say, well, maybe he just needs a change of scenery. It's rare that it works like this. And I think that it's fair to ask the question, and I'm going to look into it after I get off the phone with you. Did he change anything fundamentally when he left the Orioles? Was the change of scenery necessary for him in personally? Mentally, or did the Cubs see something that they thought they could fix? That happens all the time. Teams often say, you know what, if I get that guy, I can fix them.
Yeah.
Rarely work. Usually it's going to be the same guy that was pitching before. In Arrieta's case, if you look at his stats, he became a better pitcher immediately upon leaving the Orioles and joining the Cubs. And, of course, he's only improved since then. But it was night and day almost the minute he changed uniforms.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And now you'd have to go to him over John Lester in a one-game playoff. I don't even know if it's a discussion.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I a couple weeks ago I made the case that it wasn't so clear-cut, but all Arrieta has done since then is continue to pitch even just as brilliantly, so I think he is the guy.